Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Good evening, Steeler Nation, and welcome once again to the show called The Steelers Hangover that takes you about 24 hours after the Steelers game and helps rehash everything. Now, once again, it's the off season. It's actually March now, so there's no Steeler game. But thanks to Antonio Brown, I'm sorry, Mr. Big Chest, and so much other stuff going on in the NFL, we have plenty to talk to you about. Once again, Behind the Steel Curtain sponsors this very broadcast, the Steelers Hangover, and it is also along with my good friend Tony DeFeo. Tony, good evening, my friend, and welcome.
Hello, Brian. I hope you had a great weekend. It's good to be with you again. I can't wait to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Once again.
You know what? I actually have an article coming out. I have a fact or fiction article coming out in about 2 days, and it is going to be 99.9% AB free. So that is something that is going to be music to our ears.
How is that even possible?
We can't get away with that today. Well, the only time he is mentioned is in the title where it says.
Oh, okay.
AB free. That's it. I made mention to the Kevin Colbert 52 kids situation and just said someone might take exception to that. But I try to do something a little different, keep him out of it because we're getting AB fatigue like crazy. I'm sorry, Mr. Big Chest fatigue. You know, I wonder if that's going to be on the back of his Oakland Raiders uniform or wherever he ends up. If he could be like the XFL and he just goes with Mr. Big Chest. So we'll see if that happens.
Well, I mean, he thinks he can do whatever he wants according to his interview, so maybe that'll be part of his new deal with his new team.
So I have theories on that, too. And look, I know we've been going at the AB thing like crazy. So last week when we posted the article, I looked at the comments, the article advertising the podcast. Someone's like, oh yeah, we haven't talked to that for about 3 minutes. You know, seriously, we really had it because it was just a situation we were talking about, you know, can you really get a number one for him? I mean, will the compensation be higher than you think? We weren't really talking about the compensation a lot in the past. Now we are. And that's something we are going to talk about tonight, but we're going to talk about some other things too and talk about the state of the Steelers because there's 52 other kids on this team besides Mr. Big Chest. And I guess 51 other than Big Ben and Mr. Big Chest. So with that being said, we have plenty to talk about. And once again, as I mentioned, Steelers Hangover is brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. Now check this out, Tony. About 10 articles every single day. New articles. Talking about all kinds of things, talking about the combine, which brought up some guys over the weekend that would look really good in black and gold, and that's something we could talk about tonight as well. Articles just about commentary. Of course, you're going to have your Antonio Brown articles. That's there. You're gonna. We have free agent market watch that's coming up. Jeff, Simon, you, all the talented writers on this staff are working hard to put so much good content out there. And here's, let me make a comment about that. So I had this fact or fiction ready to go ahead and I go out Friday. But there was so much ahead of it that it's not going out until about, Tuesday or Wednesday, which that's just a fantastic thing because we have so much content to share your way. And so you can't get tired of the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it be March 4th, June 4th, August 4th, September 4th, December 4th, January 4th. You're going to have, and all the dates in between, you're going to have all kinds of Steelers stuff. And that's what we do here at Behind the Steel Curtain. So, Tony, with that being said, should we get the Mr. Big Chest, the NBC stuff, out of the way?
Yeah, let's get right to it. Let's get that out of the way, and then we can talk about some real football.
So what were your thoughts over the weekend when he went on ESPN with Jeff Darlington, which I'm not sure who Jeff Darlington is, but he is definitely not a hard-hitting reporter, I will tell you that, because basically let AB walk all over him and say just whatever he wanted. And when he brought up McKnight Road, next thing you know, that's a robbery situation where he's a robbery suspect. Just all kinds of crazy stuff. But before we get on to that, I got to mention this to you. I've never been invited to your house or apartment. I have never been.
No, you haven't. And that's because I'm not a team leader, apparently. That's why. I like to keep my receivers at a distance.
And you have never been mine, but you are welcome anytime to it. We live probably about 3+ hours away, but I would definitely love to break bread with you, my friend. But here's the thing. We're still good teammates. We're really good teammates. And that's just – the fact that you've been over to Ben Roethlisberger's house and he's been to yours one time each, that's fantastic. That's a lot of effort that I'm sure, how many times do you think Tom Brady has invited, let's just say James White to his house?
I'm going to guess zero.
Yeah,
and he's
so,
had
so
many receivers over the years that he.
I got to tell you, this whole thing to me, this whole interview, just stunk of a guy that does not want to get traded. And I have an article coming out about that tomorrow. I link it to Seinfeld. So I'm linking Antonio Brown to George Costanza. So if you're a Seinfeld fan, you'll possibly enjoy it. But with that being said, he does not want traded, Tony. In my mind, he wants fired. I don't want to spoil the whole article for you, but my thing is, look, he would much rather go ahead and get cut so he can negotiate his own deal. And I think that entire interview to me was him trying to scare teams away. I think it was cold and calculated, and he knew exactly what he was doing. He was in essence saying, look, I'm going to be a problem if you get me. We're playing by my rules. Why would anybody that wants traded do that? Because he doesn't. What do you think about that?
That's a good point. I mean, it blew my mind listening to the things he was saying about, play by my rules and I'm a millionaire, all this other stuff that he was saying. And of course, going on and on about Ben and the shop with LeBron, talking about the flatter root comment in his show back in November. He clearly is bothered by that. So, I mean, he's He just doesn't want to accept blame for anything. Not even the going 100 miles an hour down McKnight Road. He doesn't want to accept blame for anything. So he just can't get over any kind of criticism. He can't accept any kind of criticism, or he is trying to sabotage the Steelers' chances of trading him and forcing them to just cut him. And if it comes down to that, I hope they just keep him and make him sit on the bench, or not sit on the bench, but because you want him to play, but just keep him and force him to play for them in 2019.
So let's jump in the BTSC time machine, and we'll go back to 2005. There was a Devo wide receiver in the second year of his seven-year, $49 million contract at the time, and there was a signing bonus on there too. Very second year of that contract, decided that that wasn't enough for him, and wanted out. His name was Terrell Owens. His agent was Mr. Drew Rosenhaus, the very same agent for Antonio Brown. So what happened in mid-November of 2005? Well, what happened was Terrell Owens went ahead and was suspended for the remainder of the season for conduct detrimental to the team. So with that being said, that could very well happen in this situation, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's definitely – he's still an employee of the Steelers. So, I mean, he keeps speaking out and speaking out against them. I mean, he brought up Colbert again, the 52 kids comment. He obviously keeps talking about Ben Tomlin, what happened with telling him he was banged up and Tomlin telling him to go home and how he was offended by that. So he's definitely not being a good employee right now. So, I mean, they are within their right to do whatever they want with him as far as discipline at this point. They could suspend him. They could keep him and suspend him next year. And Colbert has come out. I mean, and by the way, kudos to Kevin Colbert last week for taking the high road. People criticize him for that, believe it or not, for taking the high road. But they're doing everything in their power to make Antonio Brown look good, and he's doing everything in his power to look like a jackass. So, he definitely is setting himself up to be suspended. But there's no way they're going to cut him. They would be foolish to cut him, I think.
And they won't. It's not going to get to that because they're not going to let this stuff happen. They're not going to let them scare people away. Look, the name of teams came out today that are definitely interested. Denver Broncos were one of them. They came out just a little bit ago and said, no, look, we are definitely not in the sweepstakes form. So end that right there. The perfect team right now is the Oakland Raiders. And I know I talked to you about this last week. I would not care if he went to Cleveland, as long as you can get a good number one draft pick. I wouldn't care if he went to New England if you got two number one draft picks. It's not going to come to that either. But, I mean, there's all this stuff to talk about. But when I talk about him trying to sabotage this deal, I really think he's going to do it, but the Steelers aren't going to let him. And, in fact, they're going to trade him this week. They're going to get the deal done as quick as possible, as long as they can get a number one at this point. They don't have to drag it out. And it almost looks like the Raiders have three number ones. And if I'm the Oakland Raiders, I look at the odds of number one picks. It would be pretty tough to have all three number one picks hit. If you get two number one picks hit and the third one is a bust, that's still a busted number one pick. So if you could turn that number one pick into Antonio Brown, then go do it. I mean, go do it right away. So
absolutely.
Do I really think – Kevin, let me ask you this. Do you really think Antonio Brown is going to have a problem once he gets to another team? I mean, yeah, possibly, but as I say, hold out. No, he's not going to hold out. He's going to play because he's not going to sacrifice the money. But he's saying that all this now to sabotage the deal. But when he gets there, I mean, he could talk to them about restructuring his deal, but he might have to prove it too. And a good year one would really help prove it.
Oh yeah, I mean, he wants guaranteed money, and let's be honest. I mean, he's about his numbers. I mean, he's about his legacy. So he's not gonna, at least not right away, he's not gonna cause a problem with wanting more, you know, with demands right away. What's gonna cause him problems is when he gets to a new team, whether it's Oakland or whoever, and he has a quarterback that's not Ben throwing him the ball 150 times a year, and he's not getting 100 or 110 catches a year. That's when the problems are gonna come in. That's when the TO like behavior is gonna surface, and that's when he's gonna start making his rounds around the NFL, probably over the last 4 or 5 years of his career. But you're talking about the Raiders. They have 3 number one picks. I'd start with the highest if I'm the Steelers. They don't want to do that. All right, how about the second highest? All right, I'll take the third highest, and that's how I'd do it if I were them.
Well, the third highest, if I'm not mistaken, is the 27th, which belonged to the Dallas Cowboys. The second one would be the Chicago Bears, and if I'm not mistaken, that's probably somewhere around 24. You know, it would be nice to have the 20th and the 24th pick. That'd be fantastic. And then, would you, if you're the Steelers, would you go ahead and, you know, maybe take your third round draft pick and a third and a first to move up into the top 10 to get one of these amazing linebackers? Devin White looks absolutely incredible. So I was joking the other day on our podcast, the Steelers preview, that it's now Stairway to Devin, because I would love to see. Thank you, Tony. See, you're a better audience than Jeff Hartman. Jeff didn't laugh at that.
I like that. I wish I would have thought of that. Damn it. Oh well.
Hey, we share. Remember the movie Summer School?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Love that movie. So at the end, they're getting Mark Harmon. I love my wife. I think my wife would leave me for Mark Harmon because of NCIS and the Kips, which I would probably let her. I mean, because if I'm going to lose out, if I lose to someone as cool as Agent Gibbs, I guess I'm okay with that. But so at the end of it, when they're doing the test scores, and it's like Chainsaw and Dave, we're studying together, they do all this stuff, and his dad goes, well, that's true, because they both share the same brain. They've got an IQ of a salad bar. And it was just like horrible acting, but I just love that quote. You and I can share the same brain there, so I'll give you half credit for it. But you know what? Perfect segue, because let's talk about some of the stuff we saw over the weekend. DK Metcalf from Ole Miss, that guy was chiseled out of stone.
Yeah, I know. I was reading about him.
With a worse physique.
He looks like a professional wrestler, and he's going to be a wide receiver, and he runs a 4.3. It just boggles the mind. And you know, how are they ever going to make the game safer, quote unquote, with a guy like that running around? It's impossible. I mean, he's one of the best physical specimens I've seen in a long time for a draft pick.
I tell you what,
the Statue
of David has more of a body fat percentage than DK Metcalf, I think. In fact, I don't know if 1.4% is healthy, but I mean, apparently I watched him catch the ball in drills, and he looked chiseled from stone. I mean, I'd love to get a guy like that. But he has just risen up the charts. And I really don't think that I think the wide receivers are so deep that they could go in the second round, and they could go the free agent route. They can go ahead and fill two needs possibly with a inside linebacker and a corner. And we're talking a DeAndre Baker. We're talking a Byron Murphy, and we're talking like a Devin Bush or a Mack Wilson. Everyone would love to have Devin White. And
and don't say that no one's touchable. I mean, that you have a guy that there's no way you could get him. Because let me tell you a little bit of a story about the 1987 Steelers draft. Tony Dungy basically told Steelers brass, don't even scout. Don't even bother scouting Rod Woodson. There's no way we're going to touch this guy at number 10. He's not going to be available to us at number 10. I mean, it would be amazing if he was. And there at number 10, there he is. And they grabbed him. Hall of Fame career. Rest is history. So, anything's possible. I just want to ask you this, and I'm going to put it into the fact or fiction format. Fact or fiction, a wide receiver is not a first-round concern for this team.
Is not? I'm going to say that's fiction because, I mean, everything that happened that's going on with the best receiver, the best receiver that they've ever had, him being gone, and the cupboard behind Juju being so bare, and him being still, only a third-year player, you would almost have to take that into great consideration if somebody's there and he's not a reach at 20. You almost have to consider it. You don't have to do it, but you certainly can't discount it with everything that's going on with Antonio Brown.
Well, here's my deal on that. If a guy like Metcalf or a superstar receiver is going to be there at 20 or 24, and a guy like Devin Bush is still there, or Devin White, or someone, or a Byron Murphy, or a DeAndre Baker, or Greedy Williams would be amazing, the cornerback from LSU. LSU has two studs coming out in this draft. With Greedy Williams and White, Williams and White. So are you going to really take a wide receiver over one of those five guys I just mentioned?
Let's say
about those five guys. If you get a blue chip inside linebacker or a blue chip corner, what's more important, those or the wide receiver position?
Well, I'd say if I had to rank them, I'd say inside linebacker is number one, and then you have to go with corner and receivers. But it's all about who would be there at that point. And if there's a run on another position and one of those receivers is there, you can't reach and go for an inside linebacker. Because you saw what happened last year with all the inside linebackers that were gone, that were drafted before they had a chance, and so they had to take Terrell Edmonds. So, yeah, you just never know. It's all about need meeting the supply, I guess.
We'll just have to see who their trade partner is going to be. If it is the Raiders, I mean, I think you could finagle their second number one pick and play the old game. Well, hey, we've got other teams willing to give something else. And because you're probably going to get – Tony, I don't think it's just a straight number one pick. I think you're going to get a number one and a three. Now, let's go a little deeper into this Raiders thing, though. What if they went and said, okay, we're going to give you our third number one, but we're going to go ahead and throw in a cornerback, Gerrion Conley, who a lot of people last year at the trade deadline, people were hoping Pittsburgh would not get him. And now, if you look at the way he played the rest of the season and against Pittsburgh, I would take Gerrion Conley in a heartbeat along with...
Absolutely. That'd be a great scenario. I think, the further you go down, the lower you go with the Raiders' number one pick, they almost have to give you something else. So if it's not a third round pick or a second round pick, somebody like that, a corner that could fill at least address a need, if not fill it, I would absolutely have to consider that. Yeah.
My gut says first and a third from the Raiders, but that Conley thing, that definitely has legs. I really think that, and it's something that I was just thinking about just today while I was driving. But that could be a possibility. But the bottom line of this whole thing that we're talking about, Tony, is the fact that the Steelers have holes. You said, you definitely said, you brought up three holes right there that they have. They might even have a hole at safety as well. They might not just have one hole at inside linebacker. They might even have two. Because maybe Vince Williams was more of a super sub than anything. I would take my chances with Vince Williams and one of those quality can't miss linebackers. I would take my chances with that. I think that'd be fine. But the bottom line with these holes that I'm talking about, are there too many holes to even think about competing in 2019, Tony? When I say competing for a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's at this point, before free agency and everything, and obviously there aren't a whole lot of studs out there, like game changers, I don't think, in free agency. So at this point, it's hard to say because of you don't know what the makeup of the team is going to be. You don't know how they're going to address those holes, and you don't know, and obviously you can't count on rookies. So at this point, I'd say if I had to classify the Steelers for 2019, I'd say they are a playoff contender, but a Super Bowl contender at this point. You're losing two of the best offensive players, in the NFL the last half decade, and you're not going to have them next year. It's hard to, and with the defense being a question mark as always, it's just hard to see them being a Super Bowl contender. But things change, as you know. It's the NFL. It's the league of parity. So it remains to be seen. But as of right now, I'd have to classify them as a playoff contender, an AFC North contender.
Kevin Colbert. I mean, you mentioned, is he about to have his most crucial offseason of his entire Pittsburgh Steelers career?
Yeah, I think he's in the throes of it right now. I think he comes through this Antonio Brown thing. That's one stage of it. And then free agency, I still don't understand the salary cap. You know, if they have more money or not, I understand that they have more. I think they have more than they usually do. How he addresses some of those needs at another stage, and then how he fills or addresses needs in the draft. That's a third stage. So yeah, this is definitely crucial, because how last season ended, a 2.5 game lead with 6 weeks to go, and you missed the playoffs, and it was Big Ben just turning 37. The window's definitely inching closer to being shut. So, yeah, this is what his most critical that I can remember. I can tell you that probably since the off season that he drafted Ben in 2004.
Yeah, that's true as well. So I've done some thinking, and I'm thinking exactly how they can fix this team. So if I'm Kevin Colbert, I'm going to go with that scenario, get the number one, get a number one pick, pair it with another number one pick, go ahead and look for, definitely get an inside linebacker with one of those number one picks. With the other number one pick, go ahead and see what you don't get via trade or in a free agency. So ideally, if you can go ahead and get an inside linebacker in the draft, get a guy like Gerrion Conley in that same trade in free agency and spend the money on a 6'4 deep threat named Tyrell Williams from the Los Angeles Chargers, who's had a 1,000-yard season in his career, hasn't had one in 2 years, but you get a deep threat like that, and you've got another number one draft pick that you can go ahead and look at depth now. Pray that James Conner is healthy and can duplicate last season with a full 16 games. And do one more thing. And it's something we haven't really been talking about. Go out and get a 36, 37-year-old quarterback. Even get a 40-year-old quarterback. Go and get Josh McCown in free agency. Sign him to a cheapo deal. Go ahead and get Ryan Fitzpatrick, because we've been going way too long with Ben not getting hurt, and he's a hit away from being out 3 or 4 weeks. And a guy like that could hold down the fort where Josh Dobbs can't. That doesn't mean this is the end of the road for Mason Rudolph, but not only do you have someone that you can fill in, you could also have somebody mentor Mason Rudolph. So that's, I mean, that's about 4 or 5 things on the list. And I would go out and do that. I also think there's a hole at safety, too. I think there are so many good free agent safeties that that's such a deep class that you go get another one there, too, if you have the money. Now, you mentioned not understanding the salary cap. I could go outside and stare into the mud, and that will be clearer than the salary cap picture. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
But Antonio Brown will not be here for the entire to get that $2.5 million roster bonus, which he will not extend things, and he will not play ball with the team, which I never expected him to. But it's just, I think they need to get the deal done now while you have some takers and before Antonio Brown can do even more damage. And if they do that and they follow that little plan, then they could have a very, very successful 2019. Because this seems broke right now, but we'll see how they, if they could go ahead and win the off season. I really think they can. And I don't think it's going to take a whole heck of a lot to do it. And then part with your second round pick too. I mean, you know, do whatever you think you need to do with that second number one draft pick. But I'm not opposed to losing. If you get another number three, to getting rid of that number three and moving up into the top 15 or the top 10. And
well,
you can
move
up
Troy Polamalu,
with a number.
So.
Yeah, it was down to two guys. It was Troy Polamalu or Larry Johnson from Penn State. And they could have used Larry Johnson back then. They were seriously considering taking Larry Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a bad start to his career in Kansas City. I mean, didn't really last too long. He had about 3 or 4 productive seasons, but I mean, they ended up being fine with Willie Parker, though. That was the thing, and they noticed what they needed in Troy Polamalu, and they went and did it. Now, you saying that has sparked something that Kevin Colbert, the most important thing that Kevin Colbert said the other day was when he said that, one of my biggest regrets is that we didn't try to replace Ryan Shazier as fast as we could have. So that basically means he kind of regrets not trading up. You look at, real quick, think about this. Would you go ahead and trade Chukwuma Okwuma to go ahead, Chukwuma Okwuma to go ahead and move up into the top 15 to get one of those linebackers last year?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the last 2 times that they traded up. Because
Go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
Well, no, when we talk about draft picks before they happen, we value them, we place a little bit more value on them than they deserve. And then you look at what those guys turn into. Nothing against Chooks, who might be a great left tackle or right tackle someday, but right now he's unproven. But, you know, the last two times they traded up in the first round, they got Troy Polamalu, obviously a legend. And then I believe they traded up to get Santonio Holmes the year after they won their first recent Super Bowl. And he was the MVP of Super Bowl 43. He was actually the most important player in that playoff run. I mean, he had big plays in every game in the postseason that year. So sometimes you just have to overspend to get where you need to go.
They traded a number two pick to go get Santonio Holmes, and they needed to. They really needed to. They just lost Antoine Randle-L. They basically had Hines Ward and Cedric Wilson. That was it. They really didn't have too much. And they still had Nate Washington, but Nate Washington was a rookie in 2005. So they didn't know how good he would turn out being for them, because he was very valuable for them. So, yeah, I'm not sure who the Giants took with that number two pick, but I'm pretty sure it didn't amount to too much. So that's the thing about it. And that's why if I'm a Raiders fan, you know, some Raiders fans are saying, nah, I don't want this guy, but why give up the future? Look, you don't know what the 27th pick in the first round is going to be. You know, you have no clue.
Absolutely.
If you're saying right now that you can get 10 to 15 touchdowns out of that number one pick, who's not going to do it? You know, you remember the show Let's Make a Deal. Monty Hall was staring at a curtain and saying, hey, what do you want to take?
Yeah.
You want to take what's behind that curtain, or do you want this cool vacation package? Not knowing that it's like a Winnebago and an awesome trip. Or it could be Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. You didn't know.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So really, go take Antonio Brown. I would. Even with all this crap that I was almost cussed. Even with all this crap that he's spouting right now, because it's a game right now. He's trying to get cut. He's not going to get cut, but hey, at least you're trying. They have a plan and they're following it, and I'll give them that. It's a stupid plan, but at least they're following something.
Right.
That's all I can say. So with that being said, any last minute words of wisdom for this week's hangover fans?
Well, I will say this. If there are any Raiders executives or any team that's looking to trade for Antonio Brown, as a Pirates fan, I will say this. They value their prospects way too much. And we talked about this the whole show. Just because you might overvalue your draft pick, don't do it. Trade him for Antonio Brown, because Antonio Brown right now is better than an unknown draft pick. So the Steelers need a first-round pick. You need Antonio Brown. Make it happen. That's my final words of wisdom.
Well, and I love that. And I do like Josh Bell a lot. But and I'm glad Josh Bell's on the team. But if they would have traded Josh Bell for a Justin Verlander, they could have been champions in 2015.
Absolutely.
Or David Price, who was available, they could have been champions.
Absolutely.
And I think that's got to be the biggest regret ever for that team. Because they, exactly what you said, they valued their prospects way too much. That's why I love the Penguins so much. They don't care about their prospects. They get rid of prospects.
They don't have any first round picks
all
left.
The time. Yeah. They're not going to.
Yeah.
You know, Sidney Crosby is going to be retired and on Social Security by the time that they have another number one pick, because they keep on trading everybody away.
That's
and
right.
You know what? I love it. because they're going for the win.
It's all about now.
And yeah, it's got to be about now. I mean, I know save your money for a rainy day, save your prospects for a rainy day, but also if you're close and you have that deep down conversation with yourself, you say, self, should we really win it if we boost this team up? Yeah. Hey,
yeah.
The Pirates back in 1990, they gave up Moises Alou for Zane Smith. I like that deal. I still like that deal.
Me too.
Because Zane Smith was a good pitcher for them in the postseason and a good pitcher for them. He wasn't amazing, but they needed to fill out that rotation with a lefty that could beat the Mets and a lefty that could give teams problems. And that's what Zane Smith was. Sure, they missed out on years of Moises Alou, but they went for it. If they don't, you're not talking about they might not even be in the playoffs this year. Sure, they didn't end up being championships, but they went for it. And I think that's what you've got to do in that position. So with that being said, hopefully next week we're talking about the compensation for Antonio Brown. I actually, what's your gut saying? Are we going to have a trade by the next time we speak?
Yeah, from what I've read, I mean, with it heating up with two or three teams in the mix, that, you know, as of right now and for the past week, it seems like, I think it can happen. And I think they're going to want to make it happen because he just won't shut up. And the more he talks, like we just said, the worse his trade value is. So, yeah, they're going to try to make it happen as quick as possible. And I think it's going to happen this week.
And I think they might be doing a little less to get him traded as quick as possible because of that. And that, to me, is not a dumb deal. Get a deal. If you get a deal you're comfortable with right now, don't get greedy, because he could blow this. I'm surprised he hasn't blown him up yet. after Peter King came out with saying that should be done by the end of the week. So I'm actually thinking it's going to happen. I mean, I'd be surprised if it wasn't the Raiders, because it just works both ways. It really does.
Yeah.
But with that
right.
being said, Tony, thank you.
Thank you, Brian. It was another great evening of football talk. I can't wait for next Monday. I can't wait to talk about hopefully a trade of Antonio Brown.
We've always got something to talk about here, my friend. I appreciate it. If not, we'll make up something good. With that being said,
absolutely.
For Tony DeFeo and behind the steel curtain, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. I appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. My friends, sleep it off, because you've just been hungover.